peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
As always, we're very thankful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and we are studying this week John chapter 20, and I've titled the message, The Ministry Engraved on the Heart. This is a beautiful passage where Jesus is essentially commissioning his disciples to go out and be preachers of the gospel. We're going to learn a lot about this week. Faith, what the Lord is after, the kind of faith, the trusting, leaning upon him as he calls us to believe and not receive these things but by sight, but by faith alone. Well, that's where I want to begin this morning. When it's all said and done, and we make it very clear that no one is saved by their works, and that everyone is convinced and agreed that we're saved by grace through faith alone, we still have another problem. A problem that John has been showing to us from the beginning of his book. It's the question of what kind of faith. You see, from the beginning of John, many believed in Jesus because of the signs he was doing. In other words, they got a show. They saw. They believed. Very, very close to the modern day signs and wonders movement, the fascination with healings and miracles and prosperity message. There were many of those kind of people around in Jesus' day. And they believed in Jesus because he was powerful, because he was doing signs, because he was healing people. But the problem John chapter 2 raises is that Jesus, on his part, would not commit himself to them. It's an interesting little word. He did not believe in them. So in other words, that's a great problem. They believed in him, but he did not believe in them because he knew it was not the right kind of faith. And so it begs the question today on Abounding Grace, what is God after? I don't know if anyone ever captured it better than Martin Luther, who once said, "It's not enough to believe that Christ has risen from the dead, because neither peace nor joy, power nor might follow. But I must believe that the resurrection happened for me, so that I delight that my own sin and death are overcome there." This is true faith. Of everything that we've learned in John's gospel, we really do see it culminate with this truth today in John chapter 20. We come to the single statement of purpose of this book. John says, "All these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in his name." That's the goal. That's everything this is about. That's everything John has presented to us. The aim toward is that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we've looked at believing and saying that Jesus is the Son of God is not a biological thing. That is to say that he's equal with God. That is to say that he's fully divine. That is to say that he is true God. Today puts together all of our study of John's gospel because it's teaching the purpose of Christian ministry, why we have a church, why there are ministers, why we have a ministry, why Christ continues to advance the gospel. It is with this grand purpose, dear listener, that you would believe that God gave his eternal Son for you. I don't doubt today there are many listeners who still have not come to this place of peace. And what Jesus constantly described in the gospel, having joy complete in really believing that the gospel's for them. I read John saying at the end of this book, after presenting Jesus as the Son of God, showing him in power, showing his divinity, basically saying it's time. A lack of believing in him as we should makes a mockery of his work. And today he's giving us his word. He's spreading a feast. He desires that we believe it is for us, that our joy would be full, and that those who hear, those who are his sheep, would receive the life that he intends. So what we have here in John chapter 20 this week is Jesus is now appearing to his disciples after the resurrection, and things have changed now that he's risen. He has a great purpose in appearing to them. He is making their joy complete. But the big purpose here in John chapter 20 is that he is commissioning them now, since he is departing, to carry forward his ministry to the ends of the earth. Jesus is going to go. He's going to be seated. All authority in heaven and earth is given to him. And now he is sending. He is ordaining and sending his servants to the ends of the earth to advance his gospel. And you can't help but ask, as we look at John 20, what kind of ministry is this? This is so crucial for the disciples to understand, and it's crucial for us because it's the same ministry that we've received, and that's why he explains it. In verse 19 of John 20, this is what we read. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. So the rumors are everywhere. All of the disciples have gathered together. They have heard that Jesus is risen. The women have seen him. They've seen the empty tomb. And they're having a sort of council meeting about all of this. As this occurs, Jesus enters the room. Not told how. With the doors locked, he just miraculously appears in the room. And the first thing he does is pronounce peace on them. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You imagine that moment? The Lord has risen from the dead, and now he's standing there, and all of their distresses are put out. The first words to them after the resurrection are, "Peace to you." This form of blessing by the Hebrews was a way of saying, "May you be well. May you be cheerful and prosperous." And here we see the intention of the Lord, that the first thing he desired of them, for them, after the resurrection, is that they would be full of happiness. Of course, the resurrection meant the victory was accomplished. Everything that needed to be done to bring them joy and happiness and understanding their forgiveness and peace with God was done. And you will notice that they're glad through all of this. All of their sorrow that they had been experiencing through the death of Christ was now turned to joy. This is a crucial point, dear listener, that the first desire of the risen Christ for his people is that they understand that for them there is now peace between God and man. You know, that's the heart of the Christian message. It's the heart of everything at this time of year we celebrate as we think about Christ coming into the world, as we think about him going to the cross and dying for us. It is the truth of Romans 5. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning that he chose to change the relationship between God and us as one now of peace. And the beauty of that is that it was decided while we were enemies. Meaning, we never asked for it. We could never accomplish it. We're all by nature dead in trespasses and sins under his intense hot wrath. And the whole purpose of Christ coming to this earth was to do this. By his death, reconcile sinners to God. And Jesus is showing here that his work does not leave us in despair, but that now there's peace. That's what he announces. And it's not the kind of earthly peace that people are fighting for today. That peace only comes in the new heavens and the new earth. The peace that everyone should be about, the peace that God is talking about as the Prince of Peace for the time present, is that the warfare is over between those who believe in Jesus Christ and God, meaning that Christ has effected that and that now there is no longer enmity between man and God. That's what the gospel brings. That's what his death brings. So the first words are peace. Now, why does the Lord want us to see this? Well, it's as if he locks us in the room with them that day to give insight about what Jesus cared about now that he was leaving. This peace was not only to be for them, but he now is explaining for them and for us the design of Christian ministry and the intention of it. And I just have to say that if you see this, if you understand this, this is the most exciting moment after the resurrection. And you know, he is setting straight for us today, 2011, whatever year, whatever time we're in, that this is the ministry of reconciliation. This is what the Christian ministry is to be. And if we forget this, if the ministry becomes something other than this, it's a failed ministry. If you're sitting under something other than this, you're not sitting under the design and real power that Christ has given to free you from bondage. So, in verse 21, Jesus says it again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now, what did he just do? He just commissioned the entire Christian ministry. As the Father sent me, so I send you. What did the Father send Jesus to do? The answer to that's very clear. The Father sent the Son to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to lay down his life, advance that sinners can be saved from the wrath to come by believing and trusting in Jesus. What just happened then? The Lord just ordained his disciples to be his ambassadors, to be ordinary ministers of the gospel. I love this. Remember what Jesus gave as the reason he came, dear listener? In the gospels, this is what we read. "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." I've got to go preach. Preach what? Luke chapter 8 tells us. He went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. This is what Christ was sent to do, to give glad tidings, gospel to sinners. This is what he did. Now, the beauty of this today is that before you, Jesus just made the same purpose as something that he did, as something that would continue always until he came again, till he comes again. Ever thought about that? Do you take this for granted? Or the better question today, what kind of ministry are you under? An entertainment ministry? A ministry of no real power that tickles your ears? A ministry of the law? What are you under? That, dear listener, is the most important question you can ask. For you, your family, your children, what are you receiving? Jesus is going to show us this week that it is a ministry of reconciliation. The gospel has to be proclaimed. Sin has to be confronted. You have to become debased before him to be lifted up by his powerful life and the imputation of his righteousness to your account. Justification by grace through faith alone. May we receive this ministry by faith alone, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. We give you a sincere invite to join us. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.